الله.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for help and we ask for His protection. And we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own selves and from the evil consequences of what we do. And whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him or her astray. And who Allah finds in error, finds deviating from the right path, there is no one to guide him or her. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Dear Muslims, we want to begin by reciting two ayats from the Holy Quran, and our topic for today is going to be the woman in Al-Islam. Allah says to us in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu Takulaha haka tukatahi wa la tamutun illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah. Be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscientious in carrying out your duty to Allah with the care which is due to Him. And do not die unless you are submitting yourself totally to Allah. Allah also says to us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadidan yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti Allaha wa rasuluhu faqad faza fawzan azim. O you who believe, again, be careful of your duty to Allah. Have conscientious observance of your duty to Allah. And speak the right word. Speak the right word. Waqulu qawlan sadidan. And then it goes on to say, and He would put your deeds in a right state for you. Yaslih lakum a'malakum, and would forgive you your faults. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Then Allah says, whoever obeys Allah and His Rasul, wa man yuti Allaha wa rasuluhu, he has and she has achieved a mighty success. Faqad faza fawzan azim. We want to read from the Quran, from the English interpretation, as we introduce our topic. We won't talk too long. We know you all have to get back to your jobs or training. But in the Holy Quran, in the surah that's translated as the poets, Allah says to us, recite unto them the story of Ibrahim, when he said to his father and his people, what are you worshiping? And they said, we are worshiping idols, and we are ever devoted to them. And he said, do they hear you when you cry? Or do they help you or harm you? Do they benefit you or harm you? And they said, no. They admitted, they said, no. But we found our fathers acting this way. Our forefathers acting this way. He said, so you see now what you are worshiping, you and your forefathers? He said, they are all an enemy to me except for the Lord of the worlds who created me, and he does guide me, and he feeds me, and he gives me water, and when I am sick, he heals me, and who causes me to die, and then gives me life again. And who I sincerely hope will forgive me my sins on the day of judgment. So then he prayed. He says, my Lord, my Rob, please bless me with wisdom and unite me among the righteous. And give me a good record in the future among later generations. Rashid, could you go in the back and get another rug and put it in front of us? Give me a good record among the later generations. He's going to get another rug. And place me among the inheritors, the Warithin, the inheritors. Place me among the inheritors. If you want to, just wait, and the brother's going to bring another rug. He's coming. And brother, if you just put that right in the front, that should be enough for who we have today. Just put it right there, Brother Rashid. Right in front. Okay. Yes. Put it right in front. Yeah, in front. Just put it right there. The brother sure can sit in front. So Ibrahim, he prayed to Allah to not only to unite him with the righteous people, with the Salihin, the righteous people, but also to give him part of the inheritance or the reward of the righteous people, and also to give him a good record on the day the people are raised up, the day of Yom Kippur. Then he says, forgive my father, because he are those who are in error. He is among those who have gone in the wrong direction. So he prayed for forgiveness for his father. But what we have to understand is that it wasn't just his father, it was his grandfather, it was his uncles, it was his mother, it was his whole family that was in error. And so he was asking God, Allah, not to forgive them in the sense of letting them continue to be misled or continue to be polytheists or Kafirun or Mishrakeen. That wasn't his desire. His desire that he would take them out of the darkness and put them into the light which Allah had blessed him to be able to be in. He wanted good for them. He didn't want them to keep doing bad. So that's an example for all of us that this society, in a sense, is our father. Even if you come from an Islamic country, there are things that we're going to talk about in a minute that's going on in almost every so-called Islamic country, and I've visited many of them personally, and these are not things that Allah is pleased with, and we're not supposed to just ask God to let them continue and then overlook them. But as Ibrahim did, he spent many, 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 many hours working hard to try to convince them. And we have some examples of his method of teaching them, trying to convince them to turn away from their wrongdoing. And so he wanted to be one of those who inherited, who received the reward of God for doing good. And we should want to be of those who receive the reward of God for doing good in our own societies. We should not be satisfied just to allow the people of our societies to do wrong. We should try to change these things. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that if we can't change the conditions around us with our hands, if we can't fix things so that we can make the changes ourselves in the society, then to speak out against the wrong, and then maybe those people who can make the changes will be affected, and they will change those things because we spoke and gave them the words that God put into us from the Quran to do the changing. But if that doesn't work, at least in our hearts, to object to it, to have a desire to change it. So we know that Ibrahim actually, not only did he speak out against it, but what did he do? He said to them, what is this that you used to worship instead of Allah? Can they help you? These idols, these things you made with your hand, can they help you? Or can they help themselves? He said, no, they will all be hurled into the fire. And those who invite others to worship them. And we know the story, and I won't go into the detail of how they left him. They didn't want to hear the message, and when they returned, all of their idols were broken up except one, the biggest one. And they said, who did this to our idols? He said, look at him, ask him. You know, he's the chief of the idols, why don't you ask him what happened? And they said, he can't talk. We can't find out from him. He says, then why are you worshiping him? So many of these things that people call themselves worshiping, that they consider to be so important, they can't give you the reward of the inheritance. And yet the Satan uses these things to seduce you and me to not follow and not obey Allah. We're going to try to make this short. I know y'all have to get back. We want to welcome all of you. It's good to see so many new faces here in this Masala. And we thank Allah for you coming here. And we pray, Allah, that you'll continue to come here. My name is Brother Imam Musa, Muhammad Musa Musa Mabui. I'm also known as Brother Marshall. That's the name my mother gave me. So you may hear my family address me as Marshall sometime. But the name that my Muslim Sheikh gave me was Musa Musa Mabui. And the name that my brother gave me was Muhammad. But I am known as Imam Musa throughout the Muslim world, all over the world where I have traveled to see my Muslim brothers and sisters in many places, Africa, Arabia, so many places where people have welcomed me as an American that believes in Al-Islam. I was born here in America, and I've lived here and traveled outside, but for the last 75 years that I've been on this earth, this has been my home. So we want to talk very briefly about the woman in Islam. And I'm glad to see some representatives of the Pakistani. Did I see Pakistani soldiers here? Any Pakistanis? None? Okay. All right. But anyway, the founder of Pakistan, his name was Muhammad Ali Jinnah. And in 1944, at the beginning of the establishment of the nation we know as Pakistan, he gave a speech at the Aligarh Muslim University, and this is what he said: "No nation can rise to the height of glory unless your women are side by side with you." And then he went on to say, "We are victims of evil customs, bad customs. It is a crime against humanity that our women are shut up within the four walls of the houses as prisoners. There's no sanction anywhere," meaning that you won't find any laws or sanction in the Quran or in the Hadith, "for the deplorable condition in which our women have to live." And then the writer of this particular talk that I'm giving you said that 70 years later, the status of women, Muslim women around the world, has scarcely improved. In fact, the former president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, who was very sympathetic towards the Muslim, he met with the president of Egypt, Anwar Sadat, before he was killed, and tried to come to some understanding so that the Muslims and the people of the West would get along better. And he addressed an international conference on women and religion right here in Georgia, up in Atlanta, Georgia, on the 28th of June, 2013, and he blamed the leaders, the religious leaders, including the Christian and the Muslims, for the mistreatment of women. And he said that the actions or the lack of action from these leaders is certainly not the sole factor, but it is a contributing factor. And he went on to say, and we have to agree, it's true that the education of our women as Muslims has suffered at the hands of some of our Muslim leaders, the more conservative leaders, and even nationalist leaders. But pointing fingers is not the solution. And there's more, but we're just going to wrap it up by saying this, that Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, he says, "People, be mindful of your Rabb, who created you from a single soul, a single nafs, and from that single soul created its mate." Now, many of us have been influenced, even those who are from Muslim countries that were under the colonialization of the Westerners for many years, Many of us are influenced too much by this book, even Muslims. This is a Bible that says first God made the man, the female came out of the man, and therefore she should be subservient to the man. There's nowhere in the Quran that said that the man was the first nafs. It just said that he created a single nafs, and the nafs then became two, and one was the child of the other. We know we could not have come here without our mother. So why is it that you will find, even in the Muslim countries, that even boys that get to be 10 and 11 and 12 years old, especially when they get to be 12 years old, they think they're men, and then they start ordering their mother around. They flip the script, as we say. They all of a sudden feel they have the power to dominate their own mother. Where did this come from? When Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was asked about who they should give honor and respect to, and he said, your mother. He didn't say that's supposed to stop when you get to be 12 years old. Then the person asked him again, who should you give honor and respect to? And he said, your mother. And he asked him one more time, and he said, your mother. And then he said, your father. So we should look at these things and understand that, unfortunately, my brothers and sisters, we have been influenced. Unfortunately, we have been influenced by the Western culture, because Westerners have come into all of our countries, even into Saudi Arabia, where the sacred places, the Haram, the Haram, we can go there and we can see the people just in the last few months have passed a law to allow the women to drive. And then somebody told me, because I was concerned about that, I said, why don't they want them to drive? They let them walk around. I've been in Saudi Arabia, I've seen them walking around, so it's not that they are trying to keep them from going to the souk or going shopping or going out. They go to the jewelry stores, they go to the market, but they didn't want them to drive a car to get there. They have to walk, or somebody have to drive them. So somebody says that it would be bad for their reproductive system. Now, does that make any sense? Here we have in the Hadith a very, very, very well-known story about Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, riding on the back of a camel or a horse. I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was probably a camel. She was actually riding on a camel herself in a special apparatus that had been made so she could sit in there, but she missed her ride when the people went back, and she was lost among some people. And so one of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent back, and he found her, and he put her on the horse. Now, if she could ride on the horse, we don't know how long that distance was before they got back to camp, but they rode for a little while. And there was no thing where the prophet condemned him for putting her on the horse. He said, you should have let her walk, because riding on the horse would damage her reproductive organs. So where did this misinformation come from? They say that driving a car would cause a woman's reproductive organs to be damaged. Well, let me tell you something. In this country, in America, women have been riding in cars since they invented cars. I mean, Muslim women and non-Muslim women. And I can tell you that the African-American women reproduction have tripled since they've been riding in cars. So we have to get out of this ignorance, brothers and sisters, that seems to have prevailed among even our leaders for a very long time. Now, I know that when you all come here, brothers, I may say some things that it may not be comfortable for you to hear. Some of the things I say are not comfortable for me to hear. It may not be comfortable for somebody that doesn't like getting up early in the morning for me to tell you that it's a sin for you not to get up in the morning before daylight to make Fajr prayer. Somebody may not want to hear that because they like to sleep until noon. But I work late at night. Sometimes I don't get home till midnight. But I still set my alarm to get up before daylight to make Fajr prayer because I don't want Allah on the Day of Judgment to ask me, did I make my prayers? Because I have been told that one of the first things that's going to be asked on the Day of Judgment is, did you get up to make your prayer? I mean, I want to hear that, but I know that it's true. And when you know something is true, you have to subject your own will. You have to subject your own feelings to the truth, because the truth, as I said in the scripture of Isa ibn Maryam, will make you free. So do you want to be free to be able to serve Allah and go to the Jannah? Or do you want to remain a slave to your weakness so you can go to the hellfire? These are things we need to think about. We don't have much time, so we'll continue this topic again some other time, because we need to talk about these things. And I do want to say this before I go. It kind of hurts me to say it. Brothers, I'm not saying this to brag, and I'm not saying this to put a wreath around me or pat myself on the back. But this is 2019. In April will represent the 18th year that I've been the imam of this community. I've seen hundreds of brothers from all over the world come together. Some of them that didn't even know the language of each other. Some of them, they knew English because they had to know English to come here. But some of the brothers that come from Saudi Arabia, they didn't know Urdu. Some of the brothers that come from Kazakhstan, they didn't know the Arabic language. But they would come together and hear one language, the Quranic Arabic language, and they would feel like they were a family. And that's what we seek to do here. But sometimes when we talk to the brothers, some of the things may touch a nerve. Some of the things may cause them to feel that we shouldn't have said that, because they didn't want to hear that, because it makes them feel uncomfortable. Well, brothers, if you cannot bear to feel uncomfortable before the truth and the word of Allah from the Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, then you need to pray more and ask Allah to take the Iblis spirit out of you, because Iblis felt uncomfortable when Allah told him the truth, that this man that he was going to make from clay, that this man was going to be superior to him in service to Allah, and that the Iblis should, it says in some translation, bow to him, but it doesn't mean bow like we bow to Allah, but he should help him to serve Allah. And Iblis says, I can't do that. I won't do that because I'm better than him. None of us are better than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of us are better, of course, than our Creator Allah. And none of us should feel that we are better or too good to hear the truth, even if it is against us. So let us just be humble, and let us just serve Allah the best we can, and come to Juma, and come to Juma with an open mind to accept anything. Because one thing I can truthfully tell you, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, and my wife, she's been attending Juma here for the last 18 years, you'll never hear me preach and tell you that you should do something or that you should avoid doing something unless I can find evidence in this book right here or in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. So if you hear something that Prophet Muhammad said and it's a valid, strong hadith, because I'm not going to come and bring no da'if and hadith, no weak hadith before you, but I will find the hadith that I know that the scholars agree are strong hadiths. But more importantly, what I will mostly bring is this book and what it says. And I hope that it's something that will help us to be able to fight against the weakness in our own selves. And so, we want to close and thank Allah for blessing us to be here. Rabbana Tina Fidunya, Hasna Tanwa Fila Karati, Hasna Tamakina Dabina. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdu lillahi rabbil alameen. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Ya yuhanasu ataku rabakum aladhi kalakakum min nafsin wa hidatin wa kalaka minha saujaha wa batha minhuma rijalin katiran wa nisan wa takulaha aladhi tasaluna bihi wa ahamma inna laha kana alaikum rakiban. O people, have reverence and have respect for your Rabb, your guardian Lord, who created you from a single nafs and created of like nature. Of like nature. It didn't say of inferior nature. It says of like nature. Like means same. His sound. But the word his here doesn't necessarily mean male. We use that in the Arabic, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Nas was a he. So let's get that out of our mind. Because when you start thinking like that, all of a sudden you start thinking Allah is a he. Allah is not a he. Allah created he's, but Allah is above being a he. He's above being a she. We just use that word he. Because when you start thinking of Allah as a physical person, then you already committed shirk. And it says, from those too scattered countless men and women. So have respect for Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. That means men and women both have rights. And have respect for the wombs that bore you, for Allah ever watches over you. Ya yuhaladina amanu takulaha wa tanzi nafsun ma kalimat ligadin wa takulaha in alaha Kabiran bima tamaluna. O you who believe, have taqwa for Allah, and let every soul, let every nafs, let every soul look to what provision that you send forth for tomorrow. That means for the day of Yom Kiyama. Yes, have taqwa for Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. And we close with our dua for our prophet, and pray Allah that He will bless us to become much closer to the sunnah of our prophet. And one way we can do that is to be mindful always that his first objective in his life was to be pleasing to Allah, more so than to be pleasing to his wives, more so than to be pleasing to his companions, more so than to be pleasing to his own nafs, but to be pleasing to his Creator. So whatever we do, let us ask ourselves as we contemplate doing anything, is this going to make me be more or less pleasing to Allah? Is this going to bring me closer to Allah? Or is it going to take me from Allah? Is it going to make me be a servant of Allah? Or is it going to make me be a servant of the devil, the shaitan? Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka Hamidum Majid. Kama salla.
Allah الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم.